We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith, Grind, and Inspire podcast.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith, Grind, Inspire podcast. I am your host, Gene Alert.
I'm Colbert St. Laurent.
And today, we have a very special guest. Mm-hmm. And actually, the interesting thing is, like, this is the first time we have actually recorded outside of our studio.
Love it.
So those watching us on YouTube, you might notice that this is not Madison Square Garden. But this is even better than Madison Square Garden. This is Brooklyn Borough Hall. And the man I'm sitting with is not only the borough president of Brooklyn, he's not only future mayor of New York, he is one of my good friends, Mr. Eric Adams,
good
borough
to see
president.
You, man. Good
How
to
you
see
doing?
You know, really good to see you. And probably, I don't know, the name of your podcast is just so fitting of you guys. You know, faith is so important, you know, but the one that I like is grind. Mm. You got to grind, man. Your goal, your goals are stationary. Mm. They don't move. Mm-hmm. You have to move.
You have to move.
If you expect your goal to come to you, it can't. It's sitting there, and it's going to be, you know, obstacles. I'm reading this book now called The Obstacle is the Way.
Okay.
You know, and it's about all those obstacles are part of the pieces that you need to appreciate and retain your goal, man. And you got to grind.
You got to grind. Especially now. Oh. You know, especially now. You know, it was interesting, right? Because, you know, before when everything's up and everybody's, like, moving, it was hard to find, you couldn't find the pretenders, right?
Entrepreneurship
is one of those things that if times is good, everybody's an entrepreneur.
Right.
When times are bad, you know, you find the people that just want to hide.
Yeah.
Or you have to come out, you have to come out and grind, like you said.
So listen, know? Listen, for the last 49 days, I've been sleeping in Borough Hall. Mm. From the time COVID hit, when COVID virus came here, and I said to my team, because I remember September 11th, I said, this is the time you're going to see what people are made of.
Yes.
Mm. You know that? And we've been on the ground every day, visiting NYCHA, giving PPEs to our hospitals before the city and state was giving them an adequate supply. We've been giving it to everyday TA employees. Mm-hmm. And so history is going to record. You know how we reflected on what happened at particular periods of time, people go back and they start to break it down and analyze. And they're going to start, you know, I'm going to be like that eyewitness news van. They're going to say, damn, they're going to say Eric again. You know, you got to record where you are in history,
man. It's true.
And that's what this moment is about. Mm.
I do applaud you because from the time they said they were thinking about closing schools, I saw you in every time I saw News 12, I saw Eric Adams. Brooklyn 12.
You know what it was really about? I saw something in the beginning when they stated they were going to divide the city into essential and non-essential employees. Mm. I told my team, "said that's coded language." Essential employees, the bus drivers, correction officers, the grocery store clerks, you know, all the people who get their hands dirty, over 75% black and brown, out of that 75, over 50% are immigrants, you know, they're the grinders. And we told the telecommuters, you could stay home with your families. Mm. So we didn't have a plan for the essential employees. We threw them in harm's way.
Right.
We didn't give them any masks. They couldn't shelter in place because of the nature of their job. They couldn't, you know, have social distance because of the nature of their job. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't give them any PPEs, personal protection equipment. So we threw a body of people out there and said, you're going to make sure our broccoli is on our shelves. When we do our Uber Eats, you're going to come. Right. You're going to make sure our trains are running. But we're going to be safe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I knew, hey, I got to get out there with these folks. Right. And so I take it as an insult that I'm telling the essential employees that you have to go out there, but I'm home somewhere sheltering in place. Then I'm saying I'm not essential. I'm essential.
Yes, you are. You know, and I started getting emails from you keeping us, because we're getting a lot of fake news, real news. Mm. But I said, you know what? I told my wife, I said, turn this off. I was like, I just got an email, so we straight. This is the real list of what's going on. For real. Because it was like every, you know, you're looking at Instagram, you're looking at Twitter, you're looking at, and I said, look, I just got an email update from Eric Adams' office. So I was like, this is the one we're going to use. So thank you for that. The weekly updates, I got one yesterday. Yeah. So this show's all about the mindset, right?
Yes.
What I want to talk about is like what is the mindset of like of a leader now? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I like that.
Because there's different levels,
right?
And you
right.
see that,
right.
right?
Right.
But like, what is your approach, and what do you think the best approach for leadership is? Because clearly, like, just if someone had any. And I'm not a political guy.
Right.
Political guy. I'm right. a business guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I just see that if I'm gonna vote for someone, I'm voting for a guy like you. Not because you're just my friend and mm-hmm. you know we know each other, but it was like there's people that stand up, right? When there's times like everyone else is backing down. Like, absolutely. You know, even on the presidential level, like right. this is the time where like Democrats should be like, yo, this
yeah,
right. you don't hear anybody,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
So.
Right.
Even on the mayor race, I don't see anybody except you and him.
Right, you know? Right, right.
So it's just like, what are your thoughts about leadership and how people, even on the entrepreneur side and the business side, should be approaching things now?
That's so true. And, you know, there's so many books that have been written about leadership. There's so many traits. I think that leadership, in my opinion, is really half of it is showing up, you know, and real leaders are substantive, and they are also able to be symbolic. You know, you must do real things. You know, it can't be all about symbolism. There must be some real things that you're doing, like the stuff we're doing around education, and we'll delve into around health. Yeah. You know, the stuff that we're doing around how cities should run. You know, there are real things that we're doing. But there's also a level of symbolism. Mm. Like, generals don't send their troops into battle and say, how was the war? Mm. You know, you're supposed to lead your troops into battle. There's a scene in the movie Gladiator that I love so much, man, where Russell Crowe is talking to his troops before they get ready to fight. And he said, listen, man, you know, some of us not going to make it back, man.
Right.
You know, but at least you know you fought for something. And
right.
he wasn't saying, okay, I'll see you guys after. He led them. He was the first one into battle.
Yeah.
And that's what I see every day is like. You know, when I was a cop, I was the same way.
Right.
When I went into policing from being arrested as a child and beaten by police, I went into the police department to lead.
Right.
You know, and no matter how difficult it was, you know, you continue to lead. But now I'm learning that, like, the different components of leadership, it questions what you're made of during your difficult moments, man. Mm. And how do you use those difficult moments as a teaching moment? Every moment I endure is a teaching moment of how to become better prepared for the next level. And far too many people think that... This is instant. This is not like oatmeal, man.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is, you have to be willing to grind every day. I ask myself, and I ask my son also, what did you do today to move towards your goal?
Mm.
You know, what did you do today? And what sacrifices are you willing to make? And let me tell you something else that I learned that's so important. It's not about the destination. People mix it up.
Right.
It's about the journey.
The journey. It is about the journey.
You know, the destination. You talk to some of the most influential people you know. You'll speak to the Steve Jobs when he was alive, mm-hmm. the Gates, the Teslas. They would sit down and they'll savor the journey.
Mm.
You know, being there is one thing, but, you know, feeling the fight is what it is. And if you miss the journey, then you lost really what it's about.
Mm, that's true.
You know that? So, like, when I look at it, the things I aspire to get to, I'm not caught up if I get there or not. Man, the universe is going to take care of that. Wow. I'm making sure every moment I'm present in the journey. You know, that. If I wasn't doing what I was doing, I wouldn't have met you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think about how many people you meet from doing your podcast or from your ice cream store. How many people walked into your business?
Thousands.
And you interacted with. Right. But now, so if you just focus on, okay, I just want to open up another store, and you're missing all those people who are coming in there and planting something in you, then you are going to miss the whole purpose.
It's so true. It's so true. It's so true. So many relationships, like, and it's, you're right. A lot of times as business owners, it's all about scale.
Yeah.
Sometimes, no, be in the moment. Like, we could open up multiple locations. We got offers for franchises, but that's not the important thing. It's about taking everything in. There's so many things that came out of that. If I tell you how many things got birthed out of Brooklyn Swirl, books, I got on national television, scholarships that we host here every year. Like, so many things got birthed because the people that were coming in to the store were like, hey, planting seeds that grew into major things that, you know. So it's interesting that you said
that. That's a powerful term you use, birth, you know, because for the first trimester, you know, as women go through morning sickness, because, you know, the body is basically saying, man, what's this foreign object in me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what is this whole process? You know, so as we give birth to the things that we want, as we go through that, the pregnancies of our ideas, you know, the beauty. You'll see a mother sometime feeling that baby kick. And, you know, she's going to love that child. But that moment of the pregnancy is like a beautiful bonding experience, you know. And so that is how it is, you know, that, you know, the moments is what I am in. And I think that is how you could really tell your leaders. The discipline, you know, I've been doing some reading because you should always be open to learning.
Right, you have to.
The more I know, the more I realize how much I don't know.
You don't know, and that's incredible.
You know, if you're not in that constant learning, and I'm reading now Marcus Aurelius' book, Meditation. He was a person that was a deep thinker, one of the greatest leaders of our time, you know, went through a lot of hardship, a lot of pain, a lot of uncertainties, you know, but he maintained this level-headedness, you know, and if you can, leaders know you can't control the universe. You can control your response to the universe.
Exactly.
And oftentimes, we allow things to control us instead of understanding, you know, how do I control my response? You know, because there's always going to be up and down. When you climb one mountain, as soon as you get to the top, you're going to say, damn, there's that another mountain. And there is no euphoria of a businessman, no matter what happens. It's always going to be.
It's always something.
Yeah. Right, you know. And so being able to really master your response to things and stay even keeled during that. And so, you know, part of that came through my years of policing, responding to crime scenes and seeing things and being able to just maintain a level of even keel. And at the same time, I was fighting 100 blacks in law enforcement. So I was dealing with, you know, those other pieces, you know, fighting for equal rights. You know, so you start to build up this mindset of how stuff is going to happen. Yeah. And I only use the stuff because we're on air.
Right.
It's going to happen.
You can't control it.
You can't, brother.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Yeah. You know, I love about it is that how you break up the meditation. I was actually following your meditation that you did yesterday live on, and I actually meditated with you. And I'm an avid meditator, I'm a proponent, and I love pushing that. But that's so important, staying in the moment. That's how you enjoy the journey, by staying in the moment. How do we get more of our people to embrace the aspect of meditation? Because it's foreign, especially when you talk about in the community.
Right.
How do we get that more into the forefront? Because what it did for me, it made me a a whole total 180 like degree. So I'm just been trying to push that, especially to our people, especially during these times,
anxiety,
depression, and things of that nature.
I like that.
So how do we go about pushing that out to our people?
And really, the push is not so much needed for our people. It's black men.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? 100%. It's black men. You know what I'm saying? Sisters take hot baths and soak. Yeah. They take their moment.
Yeah.
You know, black men has the weight. We have the weight of life, man. Just from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am not trying to be politically correct when I interact with it. The bottom line is, you know, black men, we need the help all across the globe.
100%.
You know, black 100%. Men are catching hell. Black and brown men are catching hell. Absolutely. All across the globe. And so what you said about meditation, showing them the power of self-care. Mm-hmm. I want black and brown men to introduce themselves to someone that they've known all their life, but they forgot about, and that's themselves.
Wow. Mm. I love that.
We have 100%. To reintroduce ourselves to each other. And this is a good time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, take moments of learning how the body operates. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know, you'll go to some of the most intellectual, intelligent, degree deep brothers you know that can break down everything, but start talking about their anatomy and they can't tell you a damn thing. They turn over their entire body to someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, I dare you to put the wrong 10W-40 in their BMW. Right. Man, they will beat you down. You know, they would drive around to every gas station to find the right octane.
That's true.
But you ask them about their bodies. I remember when I was told I was diabetic, my son said, I told my son, doctor said I was diabetic. He says, Dad, I watched you for years. Make sure your oil was changed right. Make sure the best gas was in your car.
Yeah.
And you didn't take care of your body that way.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And he was right.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure I got promoted to captain. I made sure I became state senator.
Right.
I made sure all these things that were external.
Yeah.
But he says, hey, what about internal? Because no matter what you get external, if internal is not right, you don't have anything.
You don't have anything. Exactly. Wow. Health is wealth.
Yeah. Look all that money Steve Jobs has.
Yeah. He didn't get to enjoy it.
He can't dial one number on his iPhone right now.
No.
Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He tried. He paid. He went across the world. He tried to find the best doctors to, like, keep me alive. And they were like, I'm sorry, we can't.
Right, because by the time that happens,
yeah.
By the time we reach that point, we've done so much damage to ourselves. Like, you know, you go back 4 years ago, I was coming from Dubai in Israel when I had, you know, I thought it was colon cancer. I had a pain in my stomach, you know, because we know we just lost, a good brother to colon cancer. And literally, I come back, you know, my sight was gone and my left eye was going blind. Doctor said, Eric, you're legally blind. You have to turn in your driver's license. You can't drive anymore. I had nerve damage in my hands and feet. She said it was going to lead to amputation, high cholesterol, high blood pressure.
Wow.
She said my type 2 diabetes was out. She said, you have to coma levels. He said, I don't even know how you're not in a coma right now.
Wow.
and so either I could have went the traditional route of just, you know, injecting myself with insulin, taking metformin and statin and everything else. Or I can say, wait a minute, I'm going to treat this the same way I treated everything else. Mm. You know, I'm going to take control. Mm. And because of that, going to a whole food plant-based diet, in 3 weeks, man, after changing the food I was eating, my vision came back.
Three weeks.
3 weeks, brother.
Wow.
3 weeks.
See, that's why I see you love that word grind.
That's one of the toughest grinds.
That is
the highest level of self-mastery, controlling what you put in your mouth.
Oh, it is,
because the body wants what it wants, and it craves what it wants.
Well said.
But when you're able to master telling yourself, I'm not going to have that, you know, what that's I want to well have. Said. it changes your mindset. So when I heard that you were able to reverse the diabetes doing what you did, and I believe you have a book coming out.
Yes, we do. That's incredible. You need your own podcast, man. You got a lot of wisdom.
Oh, no, yeah, he does have a lot of wisdom.
This is what I do, man.
His name is Kobe the Alchemist.
Yeah, I'm the alchemist, because that's what I do. I teach people meditation. I teach them about, just like you said, all the things about understanding who your body is. How to work this God technology, because I consider the body the God technology. And the fact that you're
God
just
technology.
Able to, you're just able to understand how to work it just by understanding what to put in the body, because they don't teach us what to put in the body.
No, man, no, no, no. And two pieces on what you just said. One, and so as I, you know, I thought I was buried with diabetes and I was planted. And, you know, I was able to show my mother, mom was diabetic for 15 years, 7 years on insulin. Two months after going whole food plant-based, she was able to get off her insulin.
Wow.
She's 80 years old.
Bless her.
Incredible.
Right. And then I started to just dig in deeper and look into, you know, all that we've learned, we have to unlearn to learn. Because we've learned so much that is just a straight-up lie.
100%.
Like, as I'm reading this stuff and learning about the healing of the body, I'm like, how come we don't know this? And when I walked into my doctor's office, he didn't tell me,
he doesn't know that.
Eric, here are the different routes you could take. You make the choice.
Yeah.
But you could do this non-medicine route, or I could give you this medicine. So at least give me the options.
Exactly.
If you're giving me the option of the type of surgery I'm going to have, or the type of things that I'm going to do, give me the option of reversal.
Of reversal.
Right. You know, don't give me the option of living with. And, you know, the second thing that you said that's powerful is the whole piece of how do we, you know, continue to evolve?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we learn more about ourselves
right. So
we can use this amazing God technology, man? Mm-hmm. This technology, when you really dig into the technology of our existence, it's mind-boggling,
it's
man. You know that? Not this surface stuff.
No.
You know, when you start digging into the subatomic particles and the what quantum physics is saying, the ability of what we're made of. So if you're made of something that can do amazing things, if that's at the core of what your composition is, then you can do amazing things. You know
that's
that? But we don't awaken what we can do. You know, we leave it dormant, and we don't empower people to do it, to know the awakening that they could have. You know,
I think that's part out of fear.
It is
fear and ignorance.
Fear and ignorance.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And especially during this time, I've noticed clearly how fearful people are.
Mm.
Right, and you walk around, and we're joking about it when we're in the car. You know, humans aren't supposed to be breathing in carbon monoxide. Like,
we're not
supposed to be doing that
all day.
You're in your car. The car is giving, putting out fumes, and then you're driving with a mask on in your car alone.
Right.
Yeah. With no windows open.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's not good for the human body.
It's not,
you know, it's not.
Right.
So I'm telling people, stop. You don't have to wear the mask in your car alone.
Right.
You're killing yourself.
That's right.
That's causing more harm.
Right.
But people are scared.
They are.
You know, and my sister said, oh, you have to be simply, you have to be empathetic about it. I said, it's not about that. I'm trying to save the person. Like, take the mask off. Like, you know, you can wear it when you're in social gatherings and social places, fine. But when it comes down to when you're alone, come on.
No. And that fear is real.
That fear is real.
And you know what's deep? You know, what's deep is that, you know, at the core of this virus, 90% of the people who are hospitalized had pre-existing conditions.
Mm.
94 of the people who died had pre-existing conditions. So you got to break down the term. What is a pre-existing condition?
Exactly.
Diabetes, heart disease, respiratory, high blood pressure. Diabetes is the umbrella to all of these conditions. Number one cause of blindness is diabetes. Mm. Number one cause of non-trauma limb amputation is diabetes. Leading cause of heart disease, leading cause of kidney failure is diabetes. And so if we would have focused our attention on how do we address the diabetes, you would have seen a decrease in hospitalization, a mm-hmm. decrease in death. Mm-hmm. And how do we do it? In the fastest way. Remember, 3 weeks. So the mission should have been, hey, you cats are stuck inside. You can't eat whatever you want anymore because we closed down all of these fast food craziness. So now we're going to feed you. The government was feeding millions of people. My girl, Dr. Melanie Samuels, fed 2 million people since COVID-19. Wow. So why not switch what they were eating and say, we're going to give you a healthy diet to build your immune system, to strengthen it, to address your diabetes, which is going to address all of those other underlying. So if you were hit with COVID-19, you're not going to be in that such fatal state. We're now not being reactionary, we're being proactive. But folks were not even thinking down that line. That's what leadership is. Leadership is not so caught up on what could happen that they miss what is happening. Leadership deals what's in front of them. They exist in the present and not exist in the future. So, you know, talking about, you know, we could lose 250,000. Look at what you're losing right now.
Yes.
You know, and that's what leadership does, man. You know, that fear you talk about, you could be like a deer caught in the headlights and just freeze, and that's what we did in this country. We froze.
We did freeze.
Or you could be like the mother that can pick the car off of her child because of that adrenaline and strength. You know, we were missing the leaders that can do that in this country. They were so afraid of what could happen that they didn't make the right moves on what was happening.
Wow. So, last question. Do you have any additional tips for, like, entrepreneurs? Because I know a lot of entrepreneurs are not, some of them are going to just be wiped out. Do you have any tips for them as far as, like, any resources that Brooklyn has or the city has that they could go to?
There's
that
a Brooklyn Fund, right?
There's a Brooklyn Fund, right?
Bring Back Brooklyn
Fund. Yes. Bring Back Brooklyn Fund. And bring Back Brooklyn Fund is something that the Chamber is doing that we are supporting.
Amazing.
They're crowdsourcing to create micro loans to help businesses get back on their feet. But let's be clear. It's potential that we're going to lose 30 to 40% of our businesses. Small businesses are going to hurt. Unless we get a serious relief from the federal government, you're going to see a devastation to small businesses. And we need to be honest about it. The business community that we have known is going to change. Businesses are now the new currency is knowledge and information. The more knowledgeable you are about the resources that are out there on how to get your product out there, and we need to look at what are the products that are going to be needed in this new reopening. You know, we should be opening up our, if you a tailor, then you know how to make a hospital gown. You know how to make a mask. The food services, going nowhere. People are going to have to eat. We need to look into the area of urban and urban agriculture and urban farming. How do you grow using soilless farming? Technology is going to be big. Online services are going to be big. Personal grooming is big. You know, folks going to get their hair done no matter what. Senior care, big. So we need to look at what industries are going to come out of this, and it may cause a readjustment of the industries that you have, but that's what it's about now. We can't sit back and just complain that, hey, my business is hurting. No, everybody's hurting.
Yeah, everybody's hurting.
You know, so it's difficult to show a high level of empathy when everyone is hurting. No one is going to survive this without some level of discomfort.
Exactly.
The level of discomfort is going to depend on where you are. So we're trying to make sure we get as much support on the federal level. Our congressional delegation is really trying to hammer out resources The first line of the stimulus did not come down to people by the time the ink dried on the pad. Mm-hmm. Other folks had all that money dried up. We're mm-hmm. trying to change that this time. I was on the phone yesterday with some of our congressional delegation. We need the cities to do what they can, the governor to do what they can. We need to look at, how do we help with the retail space on rentals? How do we make sure that everyone is whole and we're not trying to balance this crisis on the backs of others? So the most important thing is for businesses to stay aware of what information is available, what resources are available, how to cut corners, and how to look at what are the new markets in order to survive this new norm that we are about to embrace.
Okay. Incredible. And then you answered the question, but we always ask it. Mm-hmm. Out of faith, grind, inspire, which word resonates with you?
Oh, grind, man. Grind.
Grind.
You got to grind.
Okay.
You know, every day is a grind, you know? But I thank you. Yeah. And I'm sure this is round one when you're back in your studios.
Yes.
We'll come back in into a post-COVID.
Yes, yes, yes. Where can people find you, information about your book, about, you?
At BP Eric Adams. That's my Instagram, my Twitter, and my Facebook handle. Yeah. We try to keep people updated on what we're doing so they can go there anytime and to find out. Yeah, so we're straight ahead, brother.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.